Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and salutations, everyone. This is Carl from ISF and Deviant Legion, and we are doing The Last of Sheila. Now, this is a two-hour movie, so just so we're covered, we're going to start right away. It is available on OK.ru. I have the links in the comments sections in the links on ISF and on my page and on Deviant Legion. So you can get that ready, and we're going to go here. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. And we're at Time Warner Entertainment Company. Isn't that wonderful?
Lovely. Now, I will warn you guys, this freaked me out for a second. There's no sound at first. Now it's
no, there isn't.
So I was like, what? My speakers aren't working. What the hell? Okay, so now that we're in the movie, do we need to talk about why we're doing this one today?
Absolutely, because Stephen Sondheim was a big puzzle fan, and he and Anthony Perkins would basically, I think it was on Perkins' yacht, would bring people in and they do murder mysteries. So they decided to do a script based on that idea. And that is what we're watching. So The Last of Sheila is a film from 1973. And it was co-written by Stephen Sondheim and Anthony Perkins. And isn't that surprising?
And for those of you out there who've been hiding under a rock recently, Stephen Sondheim, one of the greatest musical writers of all time ever, hands down, recently passed away. So we're paying our respects to one of the greats.
Absolutely. And, oops, somebody's dead.
Well, I mean, you can't have a murder mystery without a murder first.
Absolutely. And I say she's dead. And look, she has a big S on her thing. I wonder who that is. Might that be Sheila?
I wonder. I'm kind of wondering how she, like, busted her head open like that, because the car didn't hit her in the face. But okay. Okay, so she was the name of the boat. The yacht, I guess.
Yes.
Also the name.
And
of
look at this cast. Okay, check this cast out. Now, it's 70s, of course. Richard Benjamin, Diane Cannon, James Coburn.
And puzzles.
Joan Hackett, James Mason, Ian McShane, Raquel Welch.
Good Lord.
There you go. Written by Stephen Sondheim and Anthony Perkins.
Well, obviously this guy's like a strategy master, because if you just looked at all of his like puzzles and games and everything, it was all strategy games, puzzles, mind twisters.
Oh, yeah.
What a perfect smoke ring, man.
Oh, look at the porn stash.
And you can't have a porn stash without the white boy fro like that. The helmet hair he's got going on. And I do just have to say, I'm not a fan of the color, but I love her dress.
Oh, okay.
There was this weird, very wonderful style from, like, rich people in the 70s. And obviously these folk have a little bit of money, if you didn't notice the help in the background.
Right. Well, they're all Hollywood types. These are all Hollywood types. Okay, so one of the things that's wonderful about this film is it's pretty nasty toward Hollywood.
Which I think is fantastic.
I like her, by the way. I've always liked Diane Cannon.
Yeah, I like her too. God, those glasses.
Aren't they great?
They remind me of the glasses that the model is wearing in The Jerk.
Yes.
When he makes the butterfly thing.
Yeah.
And can I just go ahead and say that she's fucking gorgeous?
Yes, you could say that.
I already don't like her, though. Like, at all.
Now, I've always had a thing for James Mason. If I hit more often for the other team, I'd be on James Mason like a crazy man. Not now, he's dead, but you understand.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was going to say, we got some Edgar Allan Poe type fantasies here. That's kind of creepy at all. Oh, there's Stouffer's doggo meat.
Yeah.
You know, they've really come a long way in the years. I didn't even realize that was dog they were serving me.
The one thing I have to say about Ralph Kyle Welch, he was certainly a sex symbol, but she was not a bad actress. She really wasn't when given a chance.
Well, exactly. I mean, she just got overshadowed by her sex symbol status. Because, I mean, God,
and
look
of course,
at that
her
woman.
Boyfriend there is Ian McShane. That's Ian McShane.
I can already tell I'm going to love her outfits in this one. I dig the dress with the collars like that.
Yeah, so guess who did the costumes? Take an educated guess. Come on.
I have no idea.
Edith Head.
Oh, nice. You know, I've always kind of had a thing for her as a costume designer. Like, and you know that's who they were kind of making fun of in The Incredibles, right?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, not fun. She was fucking awesome.
Well, yeah, I know, but that's who they were.
Oh, absolutely.
On.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's so funny. I have these visions of tiny little Edith Head walking around smacking people with a fan.
Look at that car. God damn.
Wow. Am I, like, excited or what?
Okay, so one of the things I talked to you beforehand is when you think you know who the murderer is, you need to say it, but don't say who the murderer is. Just say, I think
okay.
I know.
Okay. I mean, obviously I don't have a guess yet, but...
No. And you shouldn't.
But I'm usually pretty good at calling these things. I don't know if you remember that, Carl, but I've
oh,
called a bunch
That's
of movies pretty early.
Call it, but not tell us who you think it is.
Oh, I will. Now, I will say that men's fashion in this period is a little off. I'm not a huge fan of the neckerchief ascot kind of thing, but.
By the way, I've always been a huge fan of James Coburn. I love Coburn. He had this coolness about him. No matter what role, whether it was an asshole, a bad guy, a good guy, there was always a cool.
Oh, and I was looking at that luggage. That was, I think that was Louis Vuitton.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
Which even back then was fucking expensive. He is very cool. Like, he's very pissed.
Yeah, he is. Absolutely.
I don't know. He has this air, like, I can't really describe it. It's like you can tell that there's something very tightly coiled and ready to spring out of him, but
yeah,
he's just so effusive and graceful. He's really fucking graceful.
No, absolutely.
Got the collar popped and everything. Look at that.
Absolutely.
You know, it's hard to pull that look off, I just want to say.
Yeah.
Ooh, because that player, fancy. And bottled water? Damn! He's back with real rich. I love her hair. I don't know why. Maybe it's because it actually moves, whereas a lot of 70s hair doesn't. But it just, like, it works.
Now, you don't run Joan Hackett into a lot. This is one of her few movie roles. She was more of a stage actress.
That's true.
Right.
No, Joan Hackett.
And I'll tell you
left,
something.
Right.
Richard Benjamin just plays smarmy like you wouldn't believe.
I mean, so far they all seem pretty smarmy to me. Well, except for Joan Hackett. That was the one on the left, right? The one in the blue shirt?
Right. That's the brunette, exactly.
Yeah, no, she's not smarmy. I feel like she's almost the innocent in this one, which leads me to believe she might actually be the killer.
Ooh!
It's too bright to be too 8 o'clock.
Yeah, I know. With it getting dark at 5 o'clock, it's like Jesus.
Oh, I know. It's the craziest thing. Like, I wake up in the morning and it's daylight now. Like, and I keep freaking out every morning when I wake up and I see daylight. I'm like, I'm late. Oh. No, it's like 6:30 in the morning. We're good.
I'm still up before daylight. I'm up around 6 o'clock. Generally.
Well, it's weird for me because you know I have odd hours and I stay up sometimes until the sun starts to rise, but now it's rising earlier. I'm like, oh, how the fuck did I stay? Oh, okay, no, that's good. That reminds me of the business card scene in American Psycho, because they're talking about the paper and the texture and all that.
Right.
That was very much the
idea is to discover everybody. Without discovering that the other player, from discovering you. You really do that?
So, have you ever played a murder mystery game before, Carl?
I had a friend of mine who did them. So, yeah, I was there once. I didn't really get it. I don't think of it. Go ahead.
You don't think of it? No, you go ahead.
I don't, since I was into, hard-boiled stuff, I was never into the Agatha Christie, a boardroom type of mystery. I was always, you get beat up and shit and so on and so forth. So these type of things, I don't work. I could never figure it out. Could never figure it out.
Yeah, I was part of one once, and it was like a Cthulhu-based sci-fi murder mystery thing.
Yeah, okay.
And I spent most of my time at that party, like, hiding under the snack table. I had a bit of a social anxiety fit and ended up kind of, hiding for most of it. So I didn't really get into it. I think the concept is really cool. And my mom is talking about signing us up for this quilting class that's actually, like, it's a monthly thing, but it's like a murder mystery and a quilt class. I have no idea how that fucking works, but it could be interesting. It would definitely be an experience, at least.
Oh, absolutely. By the way, just so everyone knows, this was filmed off the coast of Italy.
I was just going to say that. I knew it.
I've done my research.
You definitely have.
I love that thing that Diane Cannon is wearing, that sweater. It's a great sweater.
I'm still just loving all the collars in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many just, like, ridiculous collars. It's amazing.
Well, you're the one that's always into the costume design.
Oh, well, yeah. And they're doing a fantastic job so far. I mean, like, these are well-tailored clothes. It's not just people pretending to have tailored clothes. They're, like, really are. Well, maybe not that guy, but obviously he's not supposed to. And God, I haven't seen so many white pants in such a short time in I don't know how long.
Well, it is a boat. They do wear white pants, the people, the crew. So you're going to see a lot of white pants. Right? Am I right?
I guess so. Really, white pants for me are, and I guess that's kind of what they're doing in this movie. Like, white pants are the epitome of classist rich people.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody can keep a pair of pants white.
Yeah, that's true.
And I mean, honestly, I've tried. I've owned white pants before, and there's no fucking way that anybody who actually works for a living can keep their pants like that white. These are fucking rich people. The fact that they can run around Italy on yachts and shit for no absolute reason. I mean, that's one sign for you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so... Oh, okay, it was in multiple languages. Never mind. was like, if this was filmed off the coast of Italy, like, if they're in Italy, why is this sign in French? And then I realized it was also in German and stuff, so, yeah, never mind.
Okay.
But the lady did say earlier that she speaks a little frog, so I think that they're trying to pretend they're in France.
Well, I think actually Italy and France are right next to each other, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I'm loving porn stash helmet hair here.
Nice.
And Jesus Christ, that eyebrow. You can tell it used to be one.
Yeah.
Why is he wearing a bottle of cologne?
Say that again.
Oh, it looked like cologne, but actually, no. That looks like Chanel. What did I tell you, fucking Chanel? Damn, I'm good. Okay. That looks like the puzzle he was doing earlier in the movie.
Right. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
No, I will say this. He was absolutely gorgeous. And the nice thing about this, yeah, but the thing about this film and some of the other roles where she doesn't really truly sexualize herself in this role, and I find her more attractive that way.
I do, too. I was never a huge fan. Like, the Bunny for a Bikini thing doesn't do it for me, but, God, she is gorgeous in this movie.
Yeah. Though I will have to say, her in a leather teddy with a whip got me going. And that, of course, is... go ahead.
Oh, I was disagreeing with you.
Yeah, she was had a small scene like that in The Magic Christian, which is before this film, I think 71.
No. Hmm. Hmm. Yeah, I was about to say, you don't marquate silver and carrot. Wow, those weird jumpsuits. Good Lord.
Oh, yeah.
I'm loving all of this.
So one of the things I said, and I'm going to ask you this at the end of the film, I think this is a real predecessor to Knives Out. Now, I just saw Knives Out about 6 months ago, and I really liked it, and I know you loved Knives Out.
Yeah, you weren't as big of a fan, but I really liked it.
Okay, so what I want you to, what I'm going to ask you at the end of this is if you think, you know, this is a progenitor, the Knives Out, okay?
Well, I mean, I'm already seeing a bunch of fucking rich people trying to, you know, figure out a murder mystery, but we'll see when it really gets into it.
Yeah, it's not there yet. It will be, trust me.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have to have the build-up. Come on.
Oh, what's that all about?
I mean, I like it so far. It's doing a lot of really good build-up.
And now think about Sondheim. Think about how he orchestrates. Think about the songs that you love of Sondheim and how, in many cases, that's exactly what happens in his music and his lyrics. It's all about buildup. It's all about getting to the point of expression, you know, both artistic expression and emotional expression in his music.
Okay,
and
so
trust
Sondheim,
me, it's here, too. Yeah.
Sondheim is kind of the equivalent of, like, musical tension. There's so much buildup until it just fucking explodes because it has to.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel like that's going to happen in this movie.
Oh, yeah, it does. We all know stuff about each other, but we don't know all the same stuff.
Why is he playing with hand puppets? That's a little creepy.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's a little weird.
That's fucking weird. Yeah.
I notice he's listening to all this, too. He's got it all bogged in that way.
Very Rocky Horror there. Yeah, he is. That's also a little weird that he's listening to all of it, but, you know, he's like the madman behind all of this. He orchestrated this whole thing, so. I'm definitely thinking he was Sheila's husband, and he's pissed off that somebody ran her over with a car.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh. We got a little logic puzzle board over here. You know, one of those ones, one of those puzzles where they give you like 5 or 6 clues and you have to do the X's and O's.
Absolutely.
Actually, I still do. When I get puzzle books occasionally, which I do still do, I get the jumbo puzzle books.
I love those too.
I look for the ones that have the most logic puzzles in them.
My favorite were the cryptograms. I loved cryptograms.
I'm good at those, but word puzzles like that, like Wheel of Fortune and things like that, they come to me so naturally that it's almost unfair. Like, I'm one of those people that can guess the entire Wheel of Fortune puzzle with one letter.
Yeah, so, I've done that too.
And so that's why I like the logic puzzles, because they actually challenge me, but they also use words. They're drinking Johnny Walker Red.
Imagine how Tom's
doing about that. So a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a character here that you actually like?
Not so far.
Okay.
Well, maybe her. Because
okay.
She was just like, it's bourbon. But like I said earlier, if I know anything about Sondheim, she's not as innocent as she seems. Take it with a shot of this liquor, honey. No, actually, that was the bottom of the thing, but still. Yeah, I think it's her. Sorry. What is he doing with his shoes? Oh, I guess, is he, like, setting them out to get shined or something? What a waste of golf balls. You are littering the ocean, sir. Save the fucking whales.
Yeah. Well, it was the 70s. Give it a break. Now, Coburn, not a nice guy. If you haven't noticed.
Yeah. Obviously. I don't know. That bikini's pretty awful, but whatever. She's the one that nobody notices.
Can you say that again?
She's the one that nobody notices. Oh, I hate dive masks like that. The one big circle thing. Blah.
Mm-hmm.
Although he's not diving. He's just snorkeling.
Right, exactly.
Which, by the way, I've been snorkeling, and it's like the most pointless thing ever.
That's a hell of a boat, isn't it? I mean, look how large that thing is.
Oh, yeah, it's huge. Very ostentatious. Lawrence of Arabian.
Good old Diane Cannon. She had a good run in the 70s. She played a great role in Heaven Can Wait with Warren Beatty.
Yeah,
she's also in one of my favorite noir films, neo-noir films called The Burglars, which I talked about on Noirvember Part 3. It's a POV camera. That means something's going to happen.
I was going to say, something's wonky here, and it's not just the camera shooting.
Very good. The interesting thing here is that Stephen Sondheim co-wrote the script, but he doesn't have anything to do with the music for this film.
I was going to ask you about that. I wondered about that.
Not him.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't sound like him at all. He kind of has a style. That's it, bitch. You dead.
At least she's not dead.
You had almost died.
Almost only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. Remember that.
Well, I always learned it was close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. I was actually thinking about that this morning. Or maybe last night.
Actually, napalm,
but, yeah.
Too. But that's beside the point. I love how she reacts to this, too.
Yeah, she's fucking hysterical. She's in shock. She's laughing and crying and screaming. Yes. Have you ever been around someone in actual shock?
No.
That is a very accurate representation. Like, they do get deliriously, weirdly happy. Like, that's why shock can be so dangerous, is because people be like, no, I'm great. Look at me. I'm cracking jokes. It's awesome. Also, I'm dying. Ah! Yeah.
Very well done.
Thank you. I'll be here all week. Tip your waitresses. What are they doing? Trying to hold the side of the boat up?
Pawing through my bag of tricks there, I
guess. They got the little speedboat there. No, no. We don't want this topic to degenerate into the discussion phase. I think I'm going to have to use that. Tiny, tiny islands fascinate my ass.
I love this scene where he's getting lower and lower. They're lowering the boat. Really well done.
That's a great monologue, too.
I say to myself,
he had that smile too, which was toothy and scary at the same time. Coburn.
Yeah. Well, toothy smiles usually are a little scary.
Yeah.
And that is like such asshole maneuvering right there, speeding off that close to another boat.
Yeah.
That is bad boat etiquette. And notice how they're, like, speeding across the water, but his hair is not moving.
Of course, do keep in mind this is 1970, so the preferred term at that time was homosexual.
Yes.
Maybe not by people in the LGBTQ community, but nonetheless.
Well, there's a few problematic things for the current climate that I've seen in this movie, but we do, like you said, need to keep in mind that this is in the 70s. Like the fact that in the very beginning, in the very background, you see black maids.
Right.
I know that's very problematic, but we have to keep in mind the time that this movie was made and that this was, I mean, it's not that it was ever acceptable, but this was socially acceptable at that point. I don't agree with it. I never have, but...
Well, you know, it's funny. You live in a time like that, and I lived through the 70s. You know, I came of age in the 70s. It was very normal in film and even on TV to hear the N-word. Stereotypes and that. Remember, this was a period of time where the stereotypes were just being broken by Norman Lear on TV.
Right.
You know, And that's to keep in mind. Remember, this is 73. You didn't get a gay character, a recurring gay character until Barney Miller. Then you didn't get one on a weekly basis until Soap. You know, and blacks as maids and things like that. Julia, 1971 series. Diane Carroll as a maid. She was the first black female to head a show.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's what it was. And you have to realize that. Uh-oh. So I need to ask, any ideas yet on who the killer is?
I have some ideas.
Okay. You have some ideas?
Yeah.
Okay. When did you get those ideas?
I mean, I've kind
right
of been...
Now.
Maybe.
Okay.
I've kind of been thinking about it the whole time, though.
Okay. So nothing has jumped out at you to give you a real clue yet, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, not, like, particularly jumped out at me.
Okay.
But I think also some of that is because we've been talking.
Yeah, true. Okay, this sequence in the monastery is actually kind of fucking creepy.
Yeah, I'm wondering about this thing. Like, you know, they've got to look for the homosexual in the monastery.
Well, this was a monastery of all perverts and things like that. That's set up with his speech.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like the walls are made from melting wax. That is so creepy cool.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Is he going to be the homosexual priest in the monastery? Seriously?
Yeah.
That would be too fucking perfect.
You can commence at 9 p.m. and end at 9:30 p.m. Regardless, begin the form of raise the spirit of fraud for purpose. Now, silence does not disturb, so keep...
Why is she wearing a fucking towel? Oh, because she almost died earlier. You know, she gets to walk around wearing her bathrobe all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So keep her fat trap shut, Christine. That's funny.
What time is it?
This is a really good sequence. Now, the director is Herbert Ross. Herbert Ross did a number of family-oriented films. He did The Odd Couple, The Heartbreak Kid, a number of things.
I was going to say, do you consider this a family-oriented film, huh?
Well, let me put it this way. It was rated PG. It is a 70s PG. It's not the little girl that lived down the lane, mind you. But
oh, God. That was a hard 70s PG.
Well, that's the thing Stephen Ronquillo and I always talk about, our 70s PGs. They were a lot harder than what we have now, trust me.
Although nothing in this movie so far has been beyond PG. I do want to say that. There hasn't been any nudity, any, like, you know, super, super bloody murder or anything. I mean, her face was a little fucked up in the beginning, but as a parental, who has to offer guidance to my children when they watch movies, apparently,
mm-hmm.
That can be explained away with road rash.
Right.
Creepy. He's really pulling off that wig and makeup look, though.
Yes, he is. There's a film from the 70s he's in that I love that nobody knows called The Internecine Project. And James Coburn plays this spy who basically sets up all the other spies that he's worked with to kill
yeah.
each other. And I just love him. Big fan.
Thank you. No. Is he trying to trap the homosexual?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I had a feeling he was the gay guy because, you know, his wife mentioned earlier, I'm trying to hold on to a husband, blah, blah, blah.
I like her.
Yeah. She seems like the fun, dumb one. Make it
worse.
I guess what I'm more interested right now and what I'm more interested in right now more than anything is
what are you interested in?
I say yes.
It's not who killed Sheila, but why they killed Sheila. Why did somebody kill Sheila? What did this bitch know?
There is a God.
So what are we doing tonight? What are we doing tonight? We know this one before.
Okay, so now the next question is, who killed Clinton? And why?
Again, I'm not as interested in the who as I am the why. I'm like, what's going on here?
Told you, he is a puzzle person. Him and Perkins. This is really complicated.
It is. Oh, yeah.
So we have a clue. A burnt cigarette. Okay, now you have a bunch of suspects.
Oh, yeah.
But one of them has to be the detective or take that role. So your the next question is, who do you think is going to take that role? Because then you can take that person out of the equation.
I think it's the guy with the ice bucket who's going to be the detective.
Okay, that's James Mason. I will give you a hint, and you are absolutely right.
I'm still saying it's the bourbon bitch who did it.
Okay.
She's the one that nobody's paying attention to. And she's smoking right now. You see her smoking in a lot of scenes in this movie.
Yeah. Not bad. Not bad.
Huh?
I'm not saying you're right or wrong. I'm saying not bad. I do know this is the movie, so I know the whole plot. And it does through at the end.
And she's smoking a cigarette with a brown filter on it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know, why was it unlocked this morning, and why did I put the sign out? Because the guy was in.
It was, but it shouldn't have been. I had the homosexual card, and the game should have gone on until I found him.
Exactly. It was an interesting one from the top. And obviously, he was leaving. Well,
he
took the place and fell off. Fell off. Not as he was falling.
No, I guess he's going to be the detective.
Then there was that. I didn't see any grill on the previous door. Oh, right. I never found it, is there?
What do you mean he
did? It wasn't real last night, but not this morning. That grill was removed. Why? Just the rest of it. And? What was this doing in the police car? Supposed to be a smoked cigarette.
Of
course. That was playing to the evidence.
Julie,
dude, was it a husband and wife duo that did this damn thing? Like, seriously?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wait, it was?
So we're not saying too much because there's a lot of information dump here.
And yeah,
you want to
super information.
You want to follow all this, but notice everyone is smoking. Okay, keep that in mind.
Not everyone.
Most everyone is smoking cigarettes right now. You've seen four of them smoke cigarettes.
I haven't seen porn stash smoke.
No, he hasn't. That's right. Porn stash. I like that. We're calling him porn stash from now on, folks.
I mean, we could call him unibrow, but it's obviously been, like, tailored. Not tailored, but, you know, trimmed and stuff. But I swear to God, I have one eyebrow.
There's a wonderful story, I think, by Isaac Asimov that posits that a woman's purse is a entry into another universe. Take a look at all the shit that Diane Cannon's getting out of her purse.
Oh, I know. You should see what I'm able to fit in my purse. Like, most of the time I go to the gas station and people are like, oh, do you want a bag for that? And I'm like, no, I have a magic purse. And then I put, like, 30 different things in it. But it looks like a small handbag. But I can legitimately fit like a half gallon of whiskey into there and you can't see it.
Okay, so now they're giving all their clues. Okay, this is important.
The other thing is the ex-convict, informer, traveler, little traveler.
We know who that is.
Assigning a secret, us discovering them. That was a good game. But some of us began to suspect that it was once an FBI. Something has not assigned us. But that each player has been at one time as a guilty of one of them. I'm guilty of the secret he was assigned. And it was a far more elegant game player than that. And he certainly didn't want to be used to play on the first night. Well, might have done that we could assign our own secret joke. It was more than a game. It was a private joke. What is your concept? A man is dead. Evidence indicates that it's murder. And we discovered the murdered man was playing a sadistic game with you yesterday. A game whose central theme take a big tread of the past.
I'm bullshit. I mean, how would it not have been his brains if he could have given the secret?
I agree. Look at these cards. They make us a breath of sure. Not very mind it, but just how that breath of sure. No. Depends on how he took his name seriously. He wouldn't have told us what to kill. Seems clear enough. He believed one of us killed the other hit and run killing. On the person whom he thought, but couldn't prove to be guilty of Sheila's death. On the last night, Saturday, my turn, he was going to pull the plug on that person. He told me yesterday when he gave me the pill for my back.
Okay, everybody. You waiting for? I'm talking to some men.
So the interesting thing is at this point, you just know one of them that has passed out.
Yeah, out of his own secret.
Okay.
Interesting that UAC comes up as a plot point here. Only 15 years previous to this. So, she's very young. She informed.
I mean, we kind of know who the child molester is here. Did not make that shit up, obviously.
Oh, you're cold, Tom. You think it's me, don't you? Your wife was 100 miles away and your sophisticated director friend seems cool enough, but I'm a little nervous. Besides, you dislike it too much. I have no reason to dislike it. I feel it, though. Anthony, I don't think time for lunch.
For everybody watching the movie, like, we're not talking much, but this is, like, the biggest information dump ever.
True.
What, my dear? You were right.
I was right. I know I was.
Okay, but that's not the real mystery now.
No.
The real mystery is who killed
Clinton.
Clinton. And did she kill Clinton?
I told you I'm really good. I called that at, like, the beginning of the movie, and I accidentally blurted it out later, but...
Why did you wait so long?
And I don't think she killed Clinton, by the way.
Good. Good, because all the clues are there who did. And you're right, she didn't. She thinks she did.
I did, bitch.
Yeah, I'm just letting you know. Okay. We've got this confession.
Yeah.
We've got 30 minutes of the movie left.
I know.
Okay.
I'm noticing that because the time bar is up on the bottom of the screen for me, so... But they're going
to
figure out
there's
it wasn't
more
her.
Shit to figure out. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah. Well, I have an idea who might have done it to Clayton.
Okay.
I
you want to say?
Dirty child molester. But that's just me. I think it's the child molester.
Okay, who's the child molester?
The old dude that was doing the dog food commercial.
Okay.
The one that had the little girl in the pink dress sitting on his lap?
Right, that's James Mason.
Yeah, him.
So you think it's James Mason? Okay, cool.
Or, and here's just a theory, because this is the way my brain works, it's gay detective dude, because he's really, really smart, and he figured out that his wife was the hit-and-run killer and fucking killed Clayton to save her name. Not Clayton, Clinton. Sorry, Clayton. I work with a guy named Clayton, so that name's in my brain. He's super cool and also conveniently enough weirdly gay. Not weirdly, like just it works. Like the blonde lady since
okay.
the beginning. And there may be a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's an unopened bottle. Look at how none of it's missing. He's smoking. Notice that when she was talking about her confession
earlier,
it showed her smoking, and she wasn't smoking inside the rectory or whatever.
Okay, that's important. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, I know. And I'm pretty sure he's the fucking child molester. I'm just saying.
Okay.
I don't know.
This is a good one so far. Yeah, because you just open the door to the bathroom immediately after two brief knocks. He's being particularly fishy right now.
Who?
Old dude.
Who's fishy? Old dude is fishy. Okay. James Mason.
That one, yeah. Him.
Yeah.
But now he looks genuinely confused. So maybe... Wow, she's like been dead for a long time if she's that gray-faced.
Keep that in mind. So is there anyone you've ruled out so far?
Nope.
Nice dress that Raquel has on, too.
Don't look up as much, but...
Okay.
With both of them?
Jay, notice that everyone smokes at one point or another. That's another thing to keep in mind. I am giving you hints here.
No, I know. But he's also been talking to a mysterious person, and...
Thank you.
Now, I just want you to know at this point there have been major, major clues.
Yeah.
And I mean major. They will come to pass here in the next 10 minutes.
Yeah. And yeah, this is a great like murder mystery.
Yeah, and it's all Stephen Sondheim.
I know it's not just about the initial murder. I mean, come on, Sweeney Todd, one of my favorite Sondheims, is like the best murder mystery of all time.
Oh, absolutely. And he was drawn to dark material. He's always drawn, you know. I mean. Anyone can whistle as dark as it was back in the early 60s. It's one of the reasons it flopped.
Yeah.
And
I
basically,
mean, like,
Here you go. You're going to want to check this out.
Oh, I am. I'm cute with fucking child molester old dude.
What are you doing?
It's misshapen because somebody didn't smoke the whole thing. Yep. I did think it was a husband and wife duo, by the way.
Strike a man in the face in the back of the neck when he's saying, meaning that we on this stop that you could examine the body. So, the point of it, why bother? She confessed, and I've been not happy.
Here's your paper for the detail.
Then, I assume you started to leave the field, but the timing was not plenty because first he and my cousin was sitting there last night and chatted about it. Me too. He wanted to stay open so everybody could hear. Exactly. So who knows? It must have been pre-joke. Because he was trying to get out. Yes. He was compelled to improvise the
So now that James Mason is figuring it out, who is it?
Oh. Hands look different in both of those shots. One looked like a dude hand and one looked like a woman hand.
All right.
I did say initially that he was going to take on the detective role, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
When he was crushing the ice, so it was like, I think he's going to be the detective.
Somebody killed my wife.
Hold on, I'll be right back. Oh my God, he used to have a dresser like that.
Yeah. So have you figured it out yet? Who is it?
I haven't figured it out.
Here you go. You don't have to move if you're in this one if you're smart enough.
Is it him? Is it homosexual husband?
You'll see. Well, let me put it this way. At this point, you know it's one of the two of them.
I said it was him.
You said it was James Mason is what you've been saying, right? Him.
Well, I mean, after my theory was unconfirmed because I really thought it was gay dude before all of this. maybe even a husband and wife thing.
See, does Steven know how to
it
do this shit?
It was important that the bottle of whiskey was fucking unopened. I noticed that, by the way.
Yes.
Did I not bring that up? And he was
by the way, I love the way this ends. All I'm going to say is I love the ending to this.
Okay, well, I'm really excited. And after this ends, I'm going to go eat some amazing food. So,
yay.
Please, with yourself. I have the beginnings of an idea, too. Listen now. It's about a middle-class writer married to a beautiful and wealthy. Is it an original or another thing? After a few years, she begins to boil. Not a fantasy herself. But then, while rewriting a picture, so he uses acquaintance with a cheap but not untalented young actress. Are we getting a little off the subject? I told you something would be lacking. He said we didn't have to fool the president in his mouth. I said this. He was being unused to the
okay. Look at the picture again. Okay, I'm going to give it to you now. Take a look at this picture again when they show it. What's the last of Sheila? The A. I knew it from the beginning of the picture that it was Richard Benjamin. You with me on that? Rachel?
Oh, my God, yes. I'm sorry. Like, I did not realize that I fat-faced the phone into mute. I totally saw that. He was the alcoholic the whole time.
The last of Sheila.
He wasn't drinking.
It's the end. Yeah.
Yep. So why did his wife confess?
Because
she
was the hit and run, and he set her up to do that. See, you'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, shit.
Thank you. See, how intricate is this? Seriously.
That's what makes a good murder mystery.
Absolutely. Right, because he was the child molester. He wanted it stopped.
Well, yeah. Like, totes, McDude. And I was right from the beginning about him. He was definitely the child molester, and he was also the first person I pulled as the detective character.
Right.
Location was a gift, but you had to make sure to find him before Lee confronted him with the postcard. So you followed Lee, driving both without the tent, to ride there and figure out the clue. Well, my question, you came in and said,
so you give, it gave you all the clues. Gave you all the clues.
I was wondering what he was throwing darts at earlier, by the way.
Yeah.
And also that pleat, or not that pleat, but that priest misses his pants. It's just like on fucking point. But,
yep.
Well, that's gonna hurt. Let me try again. Stab, stay stab.
Okay, that's
Wait,
creepy.
What the fuck is happening? Carl? You didn't tell me this was a puppet murder mystery. What the fuck?
Told you I love the way this ended. And it's not done yet either.
I know. There's puppets and baths and is like he's cutting her with sewing scissors.
Yeah.
Those are sewing scissors right there.
Right.
What's up, it's cool.
I'm over it.
Yeah, he tried to kill me. Duh.
Not exactly.
I'm almost dead on my feet.
You talk about dark fucking humor. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yes, it is. You noticed his.
And listen to the last song,
saying.
Kids.
Oh, shit.
Is that beautiful or what?
Oh my god, that was fucking beautiful, guys. Like, wow, I have never seen that movie before, and I'm going to have to watch it again and again because that was fantastic.
And guess what? We just got the 60-second notice from the British lady. So as I said,
from
broad care. I love
all
that
right,
movie.
Well,
now the question was, do you think it was like a progenitor of Knives Out? Because I think it is.
I can see where you're coming from with that, definitely. Now, with Knives Out, the person that you think is innocent the whole time really is kind of innocent, but not in the way that you think they're innocent. So, yeah.
In this case,
see what you're saying.
Someone's guilty, and they are, but not of the whole thing. Right?
Okay, that I can see, yeah. They're guilty, but not of what people think they're guilty of.
Right.
And that guy, oh, no, he was definitely fucking guilty. But he was guilty of more than we thought he was.
Uh-huh. And of course, I loved your reaction to the puppet murders.
Oh, my God. Really? Let my puppets come. I mean, seriously.
Yay, Patrick. I will have to tell him that we mentioned his movie.
Yeah. I brought that one up.
Yes, you did. But again, there was a reason for the puppets being shown earlier. Everything had a reason. And everything had a clue.
It really did. And I love that. I love that about it. Like, it did. It had a reason. It had a clue. And I did call a lot of what you asked me to call. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
I said when dude was chopping the ice.
Okay, but the thing is, the last is Sheila. Then they do the picture right at the beginning. And what's the last of Sheila?
Yeah, that had something to do with it.
Right, and it was. It was the person under the A. I called it within 5 minutes of the film. Well, of course, what I didn't realize is they were all fucking guilty.
Oh, yeah, they're all fucking guilty of crazy shit, but...
But, man, you talk about... Okay, if you take a look at Stephen Sondheim and his music and his lyrics and how dense they are, you know, his wordplay, his melodies, everything that's put together, it makes absolute sense to me that he could write something like this. And he loved this type of thing. And this was his way of relaxing. Think about that for a second. You relax by working up a murder mystery like once a month and have your friends go through.
I relax by watching horror movies a lot. So I totally get the Sondheim thing.
But you watch horror movies. You don't think them up and then have your friends play them. You don't write them up. It's like, wow, he's writing all the time. He's writing music. Boggles my mind. Seriously does. But I remember seeing that movie, Last of Sheila, the first time on HBO. And just like was blown away. And it wasn't until I saw it the second time, I realized who the fuck wrote it. Like, holy shit. You know, I'm so glad you liked that movie. I'm so glad actually that you went into that movie not knowing anything.
And speaking of that, I'm going to take things on a different turn here. I am so glad that you like my movie pick that we're bringing up in a few weeks. And that brings up the topic of housekeeping.
Absolutely. So on Friday, this Friday, Adam Ferenz and the Catholic Ray Mission will be doing a show on the HBO movie from the 90s, And the Badens Played On, which is about the infighting and the trying to find a cure for AIDS in the early years of the outbreak. And that it's a very, very good film directed by Roger Spottiswood. And he'll be doing a show on that, and I'll be on the panel for that. So we still are not set for next Tuesday, but this coming Wednesday, a week from today, why don't you tell, well, actually, I'll go with this one. because we're going to start with our Christmas commentary watches. And we're going to be doing one of the best anti-Christmas movies ever, and that would be The Ref, starring Dennis Leary, Kevin Spacey, and Judy, I can't think of her name right now, and Joan Plowright. And it's just a great movie with some of the best lines and just hysterically funny. So we're going to be doing that. Now, 2 weeks from today, we'll continue our Christmas watches. Why don't you tell them, since you talked to me today and we've made a decision on it, what movie we're going to do in 2 weeks from today?
Well, for one of the first times ever, we are about to do our first family-friendly movie on the commentary watch. Now, I say family-friendly in the sense that, well, if you're listening to this show, you've probably got a weird family, and we're totally cool with it. And that would be Klaus. Now, if you've been listening to the show recently, you know that I am not the biggest fan of Christmas movies, anything like that. But Klaus is a beautiful, beautiful story that is going to take all of your heartstrings and play slap fucking bass with them, okay? It's just going to pluck them all super hard, and it earns its heartstrings. That's actually what Carl told me earlier. So we'll be doing Klaus, which is an animated film, technically family-friendly. It's just maybe a little darker than you're probably used to for Christmas movies, but I'm super excited to introduce that one to everybody.
And she introduced it to me today, and I watched it to prep for it and see if I would agree with her, and I do, wholeheartedly. We will definitely be doing Klaus. It's a very good film.
Yeah, he called me in the middle of the movie and was like, yeah, we're definitely doing this one. So, I'm super stoked about that. So we've got The Ref coming up. We've got Klaus coming up. Maybe in a couple of weeks, we've got our second Christmas show on the rabbit hole coming up. That's going to be our novelty songs. And I'm really excited to see what TC and Carl do for that, because those guys always pull some weird shit out of their buttholes. So,
yeah, usually every morning after my second cup of coffee, but that's beside the point. I'm bad, aren't I?
About that, honey.
All right, so that's what we got for housekeeping. I think we're in good shape, and we're good. So I think it's about time we should say good night to everyone. What do you think, Miss Rachel?
Good night to everyone.
And don't let the bed bugs bite. And we'll see you on Friday. All right. Good night.
Good night, Beth.